Hello, this is Dan Jones with a quiet talk for you. I'm the rector of St. Michael's Church in Colony, New York. I think in this crazy time you and I are living through, we can all agree on one thing, and that is we are constantly bombarded with contradictory claims about what is and isn't true. People who are diametrically opposed to each other both declare that they are only sharing the facts. When the idea for this talk came to me early in the morning while I was still in bed, I thought to myself, everybody wants the truth. Then I remembered this.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Can you handle the truth? Are you sure? You know, there have been times when I've gotten a bill in the mail, and I knew it was a bill, but I laid it aside and didn't open it right away. At the moment I received it, I didn't really want to know how much it was, so I set it aside. There have been other times when I've deliberately looked away, so to speak, from unpleasant facts. I wasn't ready to face the truth. A shining example of this in my own life is when I realized that something my mother, I actually overheard her say this, something that she said about me when I was a kid was actually true. I had resisted this truth all my life, but by the mercy of God, one time when I was around 40, I realized that what she had said about me was true. It was so painful to accept this, not just because of the particular revelation about my own character, but because I had to admit my mother was right. I didn't want to do that. The fact is, people lie to themselves every day. They do it for comfort's sake. Because as Colonel Jessup understood in that movie, A Few Good Men, the truth is not always comfortable. Sometimes it's just too disruptive to our emotional equilibrium. We're happier believing what we want to believe. We like seeing the world that way. Which reminds me of the prophets. If you ask the average man on the street what a prophet is, he might say, well, he's one of those guys that walks around downtown holding up a sign that says, repent, the end is near. Now, those guys may look a little crazy, but they might just have a point. But in the Bible, a prophet is simply a spokesman for God. His job is to tell people what God is saying right now. The message of the true prophet is always relevant, always timely. One of the most famous prophets in the Bible is Isaiah. As in the case of all prophets, his audience usually didn't want to hear what he had to say. Chapter 30 of Isaiah describes these people as those who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Smooth things. That's what we want to hear. Don't upset us. Affirm us. We don't want conviction. We'd rather have comfort. Now, there's nothing wrong with comforting people. I try to do it all the time. But as a preacher, it's not my job to figure out what people want to hear and then say it to them. My job is to speak the truth as God helps me to see it. So as Pilate cynically asked Jesus when Jesus stood before him accused of being an evildoer, what is truth? This question was in response to Jesus' words to Pilate. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Jesus was born. Jesus came into this world to bear witness, or to testify to the truth. Jesus clearly affirmed that we can know the truth. Apparently, Pilate wasn't so sure about that. But Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The nature of the truth is that it reveals. It shows us what is real. One of the most effective ways to deceive is simply to hide the truth. One of the greatest sins of those high priests of this information age is hiding relevant facts. As you may know, this has been a major issue in social media of late, suppressing articles and information that those in charge think it's best you not hear about. Paul talked about this long ago when he wrote to the Christians in Rome. He spoke in chapter 1 of those who unrighteously suppress or hold back the truth. He said that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those who do this. Now, I probably don't have to tell you who are listening to me right now who the arch deceiver is. That's right, the devil. When we first meet him in the Bible, he is appearing as a serpent. Apparently, when he wore this particular disguise, serpents were not objects of revulsion as they are to many people today. When he struck up his conversation with Eve, she didn't run away screaming, "It's a snake!" It's almost like she was having a chat with a neighbor over the fence. Satan didn't introduce himself to Eve and say, "Hello there, Eve, I'm the devil, and I'm here to bring about the fall of man, accompanied by centuries and centuries of untold misery." No, he was crafty. As a matter of fact, Genesis says that the serpent was the craftiest or the most cunning animal in the garden. He didn't appear in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He came in an attractive form. He is a master deceiver. Throughout my years in the ministry, I have so often seen Christians being deceived by things and ideas that look very attractive. In the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." But Jesus came to reveal the truth. He came to expose the works of Satan, the works of darkness. As John said in 1 John 3, "For this purpose the Son of God was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Revelation 12 pictures a great cosmic war in the heavenlies. Michael, the archangel, with his angels, fighting against Satan and his angels. Michael is victorious, and we are told, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And you can't figure out why the world is in the mess it's in. There it is. But the story doesn't end there. At the cross, Jesus defeated the powers of Satan. By giving himself up to death, he overcame the darkness. You have the opportunity now to know and embrace the truth which is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you embrace him as he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will not always be pleasant, perhaps, but it will always be liberating. My dear friend, if you would know the truth, you must begin by making a decision. It's not an easy one, but you must decide that whatever God's truth turns out to be, you will submit to it. You must decide that even if the truth upsets your most cherished beliefs, you will embrace it, and you will forsake those things that are contrary to God's truth. You must honor God as not only the communicator of truth, but as the truth himself. As Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the truth." This is not the way we normally approach new ideas. We usually approach new ideas with skepticism. But when it comes to Christ, There is only one way to come, through faith. You must choose to believe Him without reservation, without doubt, holding nothing back. Let me tell you from my own experience, and there are thousands and thousands of others out there who would say the same, that the greatest choice you will ever make is the choice to follow Christ. My life has not always been so easy. I have made many mistakes, but I have never regretted following Jesus. The longer I live, the more assured I become of the wisdom of this choice. Can you handle the truth? I urge you to embrace the truth. Embrace our gracious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you that the truth has come into this world in the person of your Son, O God, Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, and that we can come to God through Jesus Christ in simple faith and surrender to His gracious will. I pray for those listening to this message that each one of them, Lord God, even if they have already submitted to Jesus, they will make a new dedication of their will, of their bodies, their lives, their future, their families, their resources, all to Jesus, all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. Help us all to do that, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My friend, if you'd like to contact me, I would love to hear from you. If you have questions or comments, you can get a hold of me through email, father.danjones@outlook.com. May God richly bless you.